Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Ah, man, I'm telling you what. We got the stuff here, man. We got a great show laid on for you. Welcome back to me in the studio. I was doing the remote thing yesterday. Glad to be back in the seat of power here in the Right Side Studio and staring across the way at JP running the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing good. It's I feel old when I feel the rain coming in, a new front. I start to get sore.
Did you just say you feel old?
I feel old. I'm not old. I'm sore. I get
Have you seen me try to get up off the floor?
Yeah. I can feel when rain's coming in now.
All right. Well, listen, despite the fact that you're old beyond your years, let's go ahead and take some Tylenol and do a show. Now, we got a great show laid on for you. You know the deal. It's Wednesday. We got to start off with some Camel, so hit it, man.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
That's right, it's hump day. You are halfway to the weekend, you guys. We are halfway there. We're going to get you all the way to Friday. It's going to be a good one, too. And we're glad that you are with us for today. Aside from the fact that we have a camel talking to us at the front of the show, don't forget that at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, we always have the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson both calling in. Not like there's a little bit to talk about, so we'll have the Grand Council, 4 o'clock. Stay tuned for that one. And then I got a triple dipper just filled up with stuff, so hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, national security. I did not get to it yesterday. It's a good thing I didn't. A lot happened. So we're going to talk about national security. And you may recall that I've done a repeating segment where I bring it in periodically and I do it and I call it national insecurity. Well, that's been over the last 4 years of Biden. Things are changing. I feel like we're moving the dynamic. And so I just changed the name back to what it could have always been, national security. That's where we are, number one on the Triple Dipper, to include, by the way, discussion about the new Secretary of Defense. Number two, we got to talk about Kamala. We got to talk about Kamala's checkbook, all right? So I'm calling this one Show Me the Money. Show me the money. Where in the world did the money go? What did she do with it? What did Kamala Harris spend $1 billion on to get like zero results? $1 billion. Y'all, it's the most fiscally irresponsible campaign I have ever seen, and she's still $20 million in debt. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. Show me the money. And then number three, just calling it Doge. Doge, Doge, D-O-G-E, that's the Department of Governmental Efficiency, headed by none other than Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk. Can you imagine? I'm looking forward to how this goes, but how is it going to go? Do we really know? I mean, what are they going to do? Is it a governmental agency or is it outside of government giving advice? We'll talk about all of it. Talk about the Doge, number three on the Triple Dipper. Am I saying that right? Doge, dog? What is it?
Yeah, so I'm
Doggy,
not.
Doggy, doggy?
That's hilarious. Doge is a meme. It's a famous dog that was a meme. So it's quite hilarious that Elon is calling it Doge.
Well, he's using that as a branding thing on social media, too. You can see it.
It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. All right, listen, great show. I'm looking forward to jumping right in. But let me start with the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll just remind you guys that, yesterday I had the opportunity to speak to the Republican women of Madison County. What a great group. I mean, I had the best time. It was one of those where you're not only enjoying the moment, but you're getting to share things you're proud of and excited about. So yeah, roughly 100 folks gathered at the Ledges in Southeast Huntsville. It was awesome. I had my prepared remarks in advance. I had my notes to refer to. But right as I was about to go to the podium, something else hit me. And I scratched out a quick written note right as I was being introduced. So I took the podium and I went off script. But of all the things I said yesterday, I'll be honest with you, of all the things that I said yesterday, election, culture, work to be done, Trump appointments, all of it. Of all the things that I said yesterday, I think that the off-the-cuff, last-minute inspiration that I had was the most important. What I said to the crowd, my off-the-cuff moment, all I said was, Jesus is Lord, America is great, Alabama is beautiful, and life is worth living. And none of those things required an election. They were true before we voted, and they're true now. I believe that. I believe that those four things are absolutely true. I believe that Jesus is Lord, America is great, Alabama is beautiful, and life is worth living. And yes, like I told the ladies yesterday, none of those things required an election. They were true before we voted, and they're true now. My point in saying that, in this age of upheaval, in this age of cultural shifting and political clashing and leadership changes, is that when the woke mob tells you to do things like deny biology, or when the callous indifference of a self-appointed elitist tells you to ignore what you see with your own eyes, when you're told what is real is fake and what is fake is real, you can just tell them no. You tell them they're free to believe what they believe, but there are truths that they cannot take away from you. You see, there are truths that don't require a vote, and they certainly don't require outside approval. They just are. And you're not going to stop speaking about the things that you know to be true. You're not going to be silenced. You're going to continue to speak the things that you've seen and heard, because truth is still truth, and truth wins in the end. You see, the American dream is more than a dream. It's a reality. And the life that we live here is not just based on opportunities. It's based on rights. Rights are immutable. Rights are impermeable. Rights are tangible. Rights are grounded in truth. The grounded truth that as a matter of law, every individual has certain inalienable rights, opportunities, ability to not just survive, but to thrive simply by virtue of living in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. So we have to resist the untruthful revisionist version of the United States that the left just desperately wants us to succumb to. Look, I don't want to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't ever want to be that guy who could only focus on the glass half empty instead of half full. I want to know that in the end, if my eulogy was being spoken over my grave, that it would say that I stood for what I believed. That not only did I believe it, but I lived it, and I shared it, and I defended it. Because, you know, truth, here's the thing, truth is a precious thing. But make no mistake about it, truth gets in the way of the liberal progressive agenda. It does. They need us to be malleable so they can mold us into their new version of truth. Or even worse, they can tell us with a straight face that there is no truth. We see it every day. Look, yesterday on the show, I mentioned a movie called Act of Valor. Many of the actors in the movie were actual Navy SEALs who didn't even list their real names in the credits because of their confidential job descriptions. The action scenes were awesome. Much of the acting was marginal, but there was an overtone of sacrifice and selfless service, and part of it was a background narration that was done at times throughout the movie by one of the team members. He was writing throughout the movie to his unborn son. He was trying to convey some truths to him. He was trying to convey some truths worth grabbing a hold of and living by. And at one point in the movie, he chose to write to his unborn son to include a quote from a Shawnee chief, Tecumseh. And a part of that quote said this. Tecumseh said, "Show respect to all people and grovel to none. When you arise in the morning, give thanks for the food and for the joy of living. If you see no reason for giving thanks, the fault lies only in yourself. Abuse no one and no thing, for abuse turns the wise ones to fools and robs the spirit of its vision. And when it comes your time to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with the fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives over again in a different way. Sing your death song and die like a hero going home." Those are wise words. But Tecumseh's words of wisdom, they don't work if someone has given up on the black and white truth and allowed everything just to become gray. You see, there's no joy in confusion, and I'll be honest with you, our God, the Christian God, is not a God of confusion. He's a God of clarity. He's a God of truth. Look, if there's nothing to defend, then there's nothing worth dying for. I mean, really, without having truths to hang on to, there's nothing worth even living for. Yet the left would have us to believe the lie that all truth is whatever you make of it. Oprah Winfrey can tell us that we can live out our own truth. We'll take out the word "our" and just live out truth. I've been to other places that lacked truth and freedom. I know what we have that they don't. I understand what it means to not be free because I've seen it up close and personal. Much of the rest of the world still has an idealized version of the United States in their minds. They see how little they have, how little freedom they have, and they understand that the shining city on a hill is still out there. But we could lose it if we're not careful. If we ever forget the truth of who we are as a nation, then we could wind up embracing apathy. And the world would take note, and the shining city would go dark. We've got to grab a hold of those truths, those truthful things that we know in our core, and not allow them to be shammed or shamed into existence. But here's the battle call. Truth has to be defended. You see, truth exists because it is valued and preserved. You cannot make something more true. You cannot make it less true, but you can make people forget what's true. You can convince people that truth no longer even matters. You can convince people that truth is old-fashioned or not woke enough or just too insensitive. Truth actually cannot be eroded, but it can be discarded. And that means that we cannot sit idly by. We cannot allow the reputation, the capabilities, the freedoms that have all wrapped themselves together in the American dream to become so tarnished that they can be easily rewritten like some cheap storyline. See, the American dream is still real. To say otherwise is actually offensive. It's insulting, really, to think that they thought they could do away with that and get away with it. One of my favorite quotes of all time is actually from a comic book. I've actually read it on the air before. It's a lesson in speaking truth even when others around you are trying to tell you it's a lie. It was Captain America. He said it best in one of the greatest quotes ever. I used to have it hanging on the wall. It comes out of a comic book and he says this. Captain America says, "It doesn't matter what the press says. It doesn't matter what the politicians or the mob say. It doesn't matter if the whole country decides that something wrong is something right. This nation was founded on one principle above all else, the requirement that we stand up for what we believe, no matter the odds or the consequences. So when the mob and the press and the whole world tell you to move, your job is to plant yourself like a tree beside the river of truth, and you tell the whole world, no, you move." And that's what we got to do. Folks, I'm telling you, we have to stand. We have to draw that line in the sand and dare them to come across it. As liberal progressives, we'll continue to seek to even controvert the truth of who we are as a nation, or what we believe about God, or whether or not we have immutable rights and therefore great possibilities. We need to say no to their lies. We need to promote the truths of who we are. We need to say no, not on my watch. Because we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth, bar none. No one can convince me differently. But I will say it as often as I get the chance, that there are indeed some absolutes, and I do not appreciate liberals trying to gerrymander them. So I'll say it again. Jesus is Lord. America is great. My sweet home is Alabama the Beautiful. And in spite of all the craziness, I really do believe that life is worth living. And none of those four things require a vote. They just are, because they're true. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, I felt motivated to that this morning. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know why, but I felt like it was worth saying that in the middle of all the craziness, we have to keep in mind that as transitions occur in government, as voting takes place, as elections are ongoing, as attacks are made upon our day-to-day, the reality is there are some things that are immutable truths, and you hang on to those. Those are the rock upon which we stand. Jesus is Lord, and then America's great, and then Alabama's beautiful. And oh, by the way, life is worth living. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a bunch of text messages in here. John B. from ARAB says, "Phil, it's not hump day now, it's Trump day." Well, you know, 1 week ago, today is the day we found out that Trump was the president-elect. So maybe it should be.
It's only been a week.
It's only been a week, bro.
I feel like a lot has happened since then.
I'm just saying. There's a lot of water under the bridge in 7 days.
Yep.
Brent from Addison says, "The truth will stand when the world is on fire." Yes, it will, sir. Yes, it will. It's a rock. Scott from Athens says, after today's leadership vote, a week after a public nod for a mandate, we know who to applaud and also where to apply tar and feathers. Yeah, so we just got the word a little while ago, right before I go on the air, I read that John Thune has now been selected as the new Senate Majority Leader. Can't control that. All I can do is gripe about it. But I've got so much not to gripe about right now that I'm not going to overly focus on it. But I will say this. I think John Thune is already on notice because he didn't have full support of his caucus. And he also doesn't, I'll be honest with you, I don't think he has the support of Trump. But Trump will work with him. The question is, will he work with Trump? And he'd better. He had better because we just had a mandate, sure enough. Let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay. And sorry, I missed wishing you a happy Veterans Day there, Colonel.
Well, thank you, my friend. You as well.
But I've been taught over the years, God, family, country. Hmm. And I got two higher powers. The first one would be Jesus. through God. The second one is my wife. And both of them are capable of snatching me back and getting me on the correct path.
Absolutely.
And then country is, I'm MAGA because if I want that Constitution to go back to God, which is where we were founded initially as this nation, I've got no choice but to go by who is going to abide by the Constitution.
Yeah.
Changes can be made, but it's built in. You don't have to do it.
That's right.
With a sledgehammer.
That's right. So, that's right, man.
That's it. So thank y'all very much.
Appreciate
that monologue.
Absolutely. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. David from Huntsville checked in. He says, Jesus is Lord. America's great. Alabama's beautiful. Life is worth living. You rock, brother. Thank you, David. I appreciate you as well. Thank you, buddy. In case you hadn't figured it out, text lines are indeed open. 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. Text or to call it, same number for both. Greg from Athens says, about your monologue, a poem. We may have slowed the move. Thank the Lord Almighty. And he sends me, it's a handwritten poem. Am I seeing all of it? I guess I am. He says, as you can see, as you will see, when wrong is right and righteousness is wrong, again, the promise moves on. I'm digging that. That looks like it's a weather-beaten old page, too. Thank you for sharing that, Greg. Appreciate you, man. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, quite possibly your best monologue ever. Wow, TL, thank you. Definitely one for the upcoming book. Yes, indeed, which we are talking about, by the way. Definitely one for the upcoming book, he says. Devotion to the truth is the sole justification for our existence, says Mahatma Gandhi. Man, TL, that man's got some quotes. Real quick, get a couple more in during before the break. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, just imagine what it would have been like if you would have gotten the wrong address and walked into the Democrat Women's Club, where you would have been met by a bunch of bald women with their heads painted blue, pierced noses, and some with beards. Then you know you're in the wrong place. Yeah, bro, that would have been like the circus sideshow. I just don't think that would have worked out. I'm pretty sure my message would not have been well received. John from Brownsboro says, my dad's favorite saying was, life is tough. It's a whole lot tougher if you're stupid. And that was actually a quote from John Wayne, too, by the way. My dad was a huge John Wayne fan. Huge.
Oh, yeah. I remember actually in one of his last days alive, was one of my favorite memories is watching John Wayne with him while he's sitting in his chair.
No
so,
kidding.
Yeah. I thought the same thing when I saw that John Wayne quote.
You'll get me stirred up now. All right, well, listen, we got plenty more where that came from. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. And I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, breaking news, by the way, like coming up on the screens, like as I speak, both CNN and Fox on their screens are reporting that Trump has now nominated Representative Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. Wow. Okay. That's interesting. That also sends a signal. I think Matt Gaetz is going to, I don't know about that one. I don't dislike Matt Gaetz. I also feel like, though, Matt Gaetz has a tendency to fly off at the handle and be a little bit grandstandish. So I'm looking for an AG who's going to come in there and bring some resolve, bring some ability to clean house, bring some ability to stand on legal precedent and to judiciously pursue the law. I don't want somebody who's looking to make a name for himself. So we'll see about that one. I'm curious about Matt Gaetz as an attorney general. I did not see that one coming, to be honest with you. I was looking for Ted Cruz. Here's the other thing we got to watch. The point is, too, as you continue to take names out of the House, we have a very narrow House majority. So we now have Elise Stefanik, Matt Waltz, and Matt Gaetz all coming out of the House into positions of the cabinet. And what that does is it puts us into a position of having to have special elections in House races or in House seats to refill those and hope that we don't lose a seat in the process. I think they're all safe. I think Waltz and Gaetz both come from decidedly red districts, so another person will take that seat will likely be, you know, a Republican. At least Stefanik, I need to look back at it. She's from New York, so less likely, but still, I think she's likely in a safe seat. And I assume that was part of the calculus in making these decisions. But yeah, Matt Gaetz apparently tapped to be the attorney general. Whew, that's it's apparent that Trump is picking people that he knows are going to make waves. You know what? Like people who are, and we do need this. So if you have any expectation that Matt Gaetz will leave things as, you know, status quo in the DOJ, think again, because I do believe that's part of it. I think part of the reasoning and the thinking here is that let's get people in there who will not only do the job, who will work the agenda, but they are not afraid to go and rock somebody's world. And that's what I guess he's getting out of Matt. In fact, I didn't know Matt Gaetz had a law degree. I'm assuming he does.
Yeah, I didn't know either. My personal thoughts about Matt Gaetz kind of deteriorated after the speaker debacle with McCarthy.
Yeah,
I feel like he was doing a bit too much.
It was too much grandstanding in that. Yeah. He could have held his own, had an opinion, and not made such a turd of himself in the process.
Yeah, and I think he made the Republican Party look a lot worse during that process. But we'll see how he does in this role, you know. I've seen a lot of people as well bash the Marco Rubio Secretary of State.
That
spot.
One, I love that one.
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like a lot of Republicans have this. They consider like establishment Republicans, which I don't even know if you would consider Marco Rubio that, but they see them as rhinos or, you know, that term.
Wake up, people.
It's I don't think it's accurate with Rubio.
Well, one of the most frustrating things I saw, and I was actually sitting in a meeting with somebody who said, elected officials, they're all corrupt. Well, I was fresh out of the state Senate. Mm-hmm. I looked at him. I said, you saying I'm corrupt? And he goes, well, I mean, I didn't mean you. I said, so like, 3 days ago when I was in office, I was corrupt, but now that I'm out of office, I'm not corrupt? I mean, how's that work?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the whole idea that being elected means you're automatically on the take, you know, you've forgotten where you're from and all that, that's crap. Are there some that are like that? Absolutely.
Mitch McConnell. Yeah.
But they're not all ivory tower elitists. They're not all on the take. They're not all in the pockets of the lobbyists. They're not all, you know, anyway. All that to say, there are some great people in office. And there's also some grandstanders. So we'll see how Matt Gaetz works out. Now, I got a text here from Madison, Randy from Madison, who says, Phil, your thoughts on Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense? Just curious. And then he says, by the way, yes, Jesus is Lord. Randy, that is going to be the first part of my dippers here. In fact, I'll just jump right into it. So let's talk about this. We have some very interesting picks right now. In a good way. I mean, right now we have Tom Homan as, what's his title? Border Czar. I'm loving that. Kristi Noem as Department of Homeland Security Secretary. We've got, as of just a few minutes ago, we also see that Tulsi Gabbard has now been named as the Director of National Intelligence. Who did I see this morning was appointed to be the Director of the CIA? Wasn't John Ratcliffe. John Ratcliffe, I thought, maybe it is John Ratcliffe. Check and see what he...
Yeah, it is John Ratcliffe.
John Ratcliffe? Mm-hmm. That's the former DNI. That's the former Director of National Intelligence, now going to be the head of the CIA. Outstanding. We've got... what else have we got? Of course, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, we'll talk about more of them later. They're going to be heading up a separate organization that is not going to be governmental. It's going to be quasi-governmental, an outside agency that's going to be providing... governmental efficiency streamlining operations. And I'm loving already seeing the memes from the movie Office Space of the two guys coming in saying, well, tell us exactly what you do here.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great content. You know, Javier Milei, the Argentinian president,
yeah,
who cut like 80% of the programs and had a surplus the next year for the first time in however long. But there was a video of him. There was a big board of like little Velcro things.
Yes.
Like that. And it was in, you know, in Spanish going by. I said, Department of this? A fuerte. And he's throwing it back. He's like, this is going to be Elon's first day. A fuerte.
A fuerte. A fuerte. get you gone. All right. But then, so one of the ones that came out yesterday was Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. And my first thought was, what? I did not see that coming. I mean, Pete Hegseth is, everybody here typically knows of him as a Fox News, you know, pundit. He's And he's great with veterans issues, and I've loved the things that he's done. And I've heard him speak. I met him briefly in like a receiving line. It was no big deal. But Pete Hegseth, as Secretary of Defense, and my first thought was, why? I don't get it. Is that? And then I had to stop and remind myself, wait a minute. I did see his resume one time. Okay, hang on. And so I began to think back on this. Now, am I entirely like am I totally in my comfort zone with it now? No. Only because I've never seen him proven as a leader of a large-scale organization. Not because I don't trust him, not because I don't trust his character or his values or his love for country. I don't question any of that. I don't question his service. But I've never known of him in terms of leading a large-scale organization, although he was the National Executive Director for Concerned Veterans of America, which is a very large 501c3 organization. But it's not hundreds of thousands of people in the Department of Defense for the United States of America. So I look at it and go, interesting choice. Now, that does not mean, though, he won't have great undersecretaries and people working with him who can help him do the job he's going to do. I mean, no secretary does it all, but yet the buck stops there, right? So Pete Hegseth, what do we know about Pete? Well, so Trump issued a statement yesterday. Story, I picked this one up on Fox, which is fitting because that's where Pete's been for the last, 7 years. President-elect Trump says, I am honored to announce I have nominated Pete Hegseth to serve in my cabinet as the Secretary of Defense. Pete has spent his entire life as a warrior for the troops and for the country. Pete is tough, smart, and a true believer in America first. Now, there are several ways you can check in on Pete Hegseth, all right? You can look up his bio. You can look up his writings because he's got a number of books. He's got one right now that's still a bestseller. It's called Modern Warriors. He's hosted multiple special events for warriors on Fox Nation and on Fox News. Just so you know, here's a little bit about his background. I got a copy of his bio right here. If you did not know, he's 44 years old. He's got his Bachelor of Arts from Princeton University. While he was at Princeton, he also played basketball, and he was on the team when they made the NCAA tournament back in 2001. That's kind of cool. Doesn't mean you can be a Secretary of Defense, but it's still kind of cool. So he got his BA from Princeton. Then he got his master's 10 years later at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. So he's got a master's from Harvard, undergraduate from Princeton. At the same time, he graduated from Princeton. He took a job with Bear Stearns as a capital markets analyst, so he knows the markets, he understands finances. And then he was also commissioned as an infantry officer. He was in the Minnesota National Guard. In 2004, he did a tour as a platoon leader in Guantanamo Bay. Then he did a tour in Baghdad, in 2000, what year was that? I think the next year, actually, 2005, he was in Baghdad, awarded the Bronze Star and a Combat Infantryman badge in Baghdad. And then he went to Afghanistan in 2012 as a captain, where he served as a counterinsurgency instructor at the training center for Afghan National Army. So he's done two combat tours, one Guantanamo Bay tour, 10 years in off, but I think he got out as a major. And he's a line guy, right? So he's not just somebody who did it a long, 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 long time ago. He's somebody who was on the line and it's not been so long removed from his time. So that's all really interesting. Can he do the job? I don't know. What are his philosophies? What does he want to see the U.S. military be like? Well, why don't we hear from him? So I've got an audio clip. Give me a thumbs up when you're ready on that, JP. Oh, thumbs up's already up. So I got an audio clip. This is Pete Hegseth, who, by the way, has a tattoo on his, he's got several tattoos, but he's got a tattoo going down one arm, and I got to think how it says, but it is Latin for God wills it, which is what the Crusaders used to say. Might tell you a little something about the way he thinks. Play the audio.
The Pentagon is in the book the exact amount of years, but in the past X number of years, 10, 12, 15, the Pentagon has a perfect record in all of its war games against China. We lose every time inside the Pentagon war games. We know what our real capability. You see, we didn't even get to this part of the war on warriors. I mean, the military-industrial complex, the way we procure weapon systems, you know, we're always, the way our system works, the way our bureaucratic system works, where the speed of weapons procurement works, we're always a decade behind in fighting the last war. Whereas China, we have, you know, what did Rumsfeld say? You go to the war, the army you have. China's building an army specifically dedicated to defeating the United States of America. That is their strategic outset. Take hypersonic missiles. So if our whole power projection platform is aircraft carriers and the ability to project power that way strategically around the globe. And yeah, we have a nuclear triad and all of that, but a big part of it. And if, you know, 15 hypersonic missiles can take out our 10 aircraft carriers in the first 20 minutes of a conflict, what does that look like?
Yeah.
I mean, and when they're, if they've already got us by the balls economically, which you pointed out very well, with our grid, culturally, there's plenty of elite capture going on around the globe. I mean, and then microchips and everything. Why do they want Taiwan? They want to corner the market completely on the technological future. We can't even drive our cars without the stuff we need out of China these days. I mean, they have a full spectrum, long-term view of not just regional but global domination, and we have our heads up our asses.
That's Pete Hegseth. Was that Sean Ryan's podcast he was on?
It was.
I think it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was Pete Hegseth on the Sean Ryan podcast, sharing his views on China and on the Department of Defense ability to procure weapon systems, fight the modern war, and go to war prepared and ready. I also know that he has been very vocal against wokeism in the military. So here's, okay, I've been asked multiple times in the last 24 hours, Phil, what do you think about the Pete Hegseth thing? Does it bother you? What do you think about this? I will say this. I'm at an 80% solution on him. Not that they need my opinion, but I'm at an 80% solution. All right? I am, my only reservation is looking at it and thinking, I get it. But can he run a large-scale, you know, organization like the DOD? And truthfully, I have yet to find anything that I disagree with in terms of his policy views, in terms of his politics, in terms of his background, in terms of his capabilities, in terms of his work ethic. I haven't found anything that I've disagreed with. But I just don't know his organizational skills in terms of leading at a big, 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 big level. That's all I got. We're going to talk more about this when we get back, and I'll tell you what Elizabeth Warren had to say. Do we care? It's still fun. Elizabeth Warren, what does Pocahontas say? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're in the first Dipper, national security, and I'm going to be on this for a little while because I think it's real, real important that we take note of not just the Pete Hegseth appointment, but other things that relate to our national security. And, oh, by the way, what foreign leaders are saying now that Trump's been elected. But let's go back to Pete Hegseth for a moment, because as you might imagine, there are those who don't like it, which really actually helps my position, to be honest with you. I find myself taking a little bit of, you know, comfort in the fact that people like Adam Kinzinger don't like him, that, you know, Rick, you know, I'm sorry, that what's her name? Elizabeth Warren doesn't like him. In fact, Elizabeth Warren. So I got a piece here from townhall.com. It cracked me up. It's so on point. So points out here, says, many people don't like the nomination of Pete Hegseth, which means it's good. It triggered yet another liberal meltdown over Mr. Hegseth's supposed lack of experience. But the man is a decorated combat veteran who also worked for Concerned Veterans for America and Veterans for Freedom. And Senator Elizabeth Warren's tweet about him, which was pretty condescending, seems to insinuate that Hegseth never served, but that's par for the course, and she's a fake Indian and a grade-A moron. uh, And over at CNN, he says Scott Jennings shut down all the talk about Hegseth's credentials, adding that the supposed brain trust of the Biden administration led to outright disasters everywhere. From the Kabul pullout to the humanitarian pier in Gaza, the people the political class and the media view as being competent blue-chip picks turn out to be utter complete failures. So that's a great point. Why would we trust anybody who confirmed the people who are in there right now? All right. So, Elizabeth Warren, you can go pound sand. We didn't win so that you could have your way. In fact, you know, that brings up a point. The end of that article I'm looking at on Town Hall, he says, so just please shut your faces. Most of the country said they don't want to hear your opinion on the matter right now. Do we need to remind the country who Biden picked to help him run the country? Yeah, point well taken. All right, so but here's what I do believe it means. I think that you're going to wind up seeing that we have an agenda-driven group of people who are coming in of one mind. Look at who he's picked. Right now, the only one who has not been, how would I put this? Like, only a couple of them that have not been, like, out there calling for massive reforms on a regular basis in kind of that vocal sort of change the landscape kind of way would be Marco Rubio, but I don't believe that Rubio, by the way, don't tell me he's a rhino because I don't believe he is. Marco Rubio has done a great job as a senator, and as he's been on point on pretty much everything. I think he's going to make a great Secretary of State. D&I, Ratcliffe, was just, you know, quiet, solid, and just in the background, and now he's going to be a good CIA director. I think that's true. The rest of the picks you can look at, though, right now we're seeing a bunch of earth movers. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing a bunch of folks who are going to shake some ground, and they already are. So we're going to get back from this break, and I'm going to tell you that there's already talk right now that Trump is preparing to actually start cutting generals. Cutting generals! Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Liberal heads are exploding everywhere. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour numero two. Welcome back on this hump day. We're still in number one of the Triple Dipper, national security. And I appreciate all the text messages flowing in. I'm going to get to some of those here momentarily. And I'll tell you, my texture keeps wanting to reboot. So Mindy from Morris, Alabama says, can the House replace John Thune like the Senate replaced McCarty? Well, it's the Senate. It'd be the Senate doing that. You got just backwards there, Mindy. It's the House was McCarthy, and the Senate is Thune. And no, that's what they just did. They just had the vote. The way that works. So keep in mind, McCarthy was Speaker of the House. That is a constitutional position. We're looking at the position that John Thune's in is a caucus-elected position to be either the minority leader when you're in the minority or to be the majority leader when you're in the majority. So basically he's the caucus leader. So it's an internal decision. That's already been done. Now they can have a vote of no confidence in caucus, but it's not the kind of thing they do on the floor of the Senate, to my knowledge. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is on the line. Hey man, how you doing? You calling in early? What's going on?
Oh, I'm a happy camper today, man. Getting some good people in there now.
He's getting a full team. I mean, you know what's also fun is he's getting it done early. Last time he took a while with his picks. I think this time he came in ready to get them all designated, get some recess appointments probably, and have people in place on day one.
Yeah, and apparently he'd been thinking about quite a long time who he was going to put in here, there, and yonder, I guess. So
I would say
compared to
the
last time because.
Did we lose him?
Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, go ahead. Come here. But what I was going to say is, the Lloyd Austin, I mean, you know, Pete Hegseth could be a buck private, I think, and be smarter than that man is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you That's... go AWOL and don't tell nobody and all the dumb mistakes that they've made. And he's still got his job, but that even says that the person who's put him there is even dumber than he is.
I look at Lloyd Austin and General Mark Milley. And by the way, Mark Milley was one of the greatest disappointments to me. Mark Milley's got all the badges and the background of a warrior, And he acted like he was more of a culture warrior than he was anything when he got in, up into the upper echelon. I was so unimpressed with him as a chairman of the Joint Chiefs. But Lloyd Austin has been a waste of time, a waste of our time. And he presided over failure after failure, and it's just showed.
I'm still not so sure. I wouldn't have went after Mark Milley for treason, doing what he did with China. Going behind the president's back saying, hey, you know, I'll let you know if they're going to attack or something, you know. That is a treasonous act to me.
Yeah, Milley, I think there needs to potentially, and I think Milley is even worried that there might be an investigation into him. But I don't think Trump will. I'll be honest with you. I think some of those things that would require massive levels of investigation will probably not happen. But I do believe, though, that we're looking at a Trump administration that will say, if there is a crime, we are going to prosecute. But I also look forward to not having an administration that creates crimes out of thin air to go after political enemies. We've dealt with that for the last four. And you know what's crazy is they accused us of doing that, and yet they've been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah. That's my second thing I'm so happy about is Matt Gaetz. I mean, I know you may not think he's that great and everything, but I think he is the man to do that kind of job because I've already heard on the radio that they're going to, you know, try to reject him and everything and stuff and all these investigations into him and stuff.
Here's my reservation about Matt Gaetz. My reservation about Matt Gaetz is he has a reputation for being not just a firebrand, but for being somewhat reckless and showboatish. And that's my only concern is I don't want him having this position and it go into his head. I don't want him having that position and becoming, you know, just all that. And I want a guy who's going to go in there and do the job with zeal, but I don't want them doing it with, you know, like turning into some kind of, you know, like giant televangelist as he hosts the position. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I mean, I'm trying to think of who else. I kept trying to think of who else would he put his AG in there and everything. Then it come
Ted
out
Cruz.
And it's like, that just slapped me upside the head. I'm like, yeah, Ted Cruz would be a good one. But Matt Gaetz is not going to hold back. And is talking about, you know, prosecuting Mark Milley. He's the kind of person that would probably go after him. I think anybody who did something wrong, you know, you don't have to trump up any cases, pardon the pun, but there's so many people that did wrong and that has never been held accountable. I think it's a time for a day of reckoning, and
I think there's some people who lied about the January 6th commission, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, that are probably a little bit on edge right now because they know Matt Gaetz. I think there are people like Mark Milley who might be a little on edge, but I doubt if that's really going to happen because he would have been subject to the military code of justice, I believe, and the UCMJ falls outside the purview of the attorney general. And then I look at the position. I really expected him to name somebody like Ken Paxton from Texas or Ted Cruz. So I'll just tell you, Matt Gaetz, I'm still processing it. My initial is I'm at about a 60% with him right now. But I could get there. I think I need to hear him address the position and talk about what his philosophy of taking the job is going to be. If he comes out there and goes, whoop, whoop, look at me, I'm going to be very concerned. If he comes out here and shows me a Matt Gaetz that I can get behind, I'm going to be good with it. I didn't even know he was a lawyer. So there's that.
Well, hey, Kamala Harris, I didn't know she was a lawyer either.
That's true. That's true. That is so true.
If she can pass the bar, anybody can do it.
Lord God, it's like one of those things where you look at it and go, apparently anybody can be a lawyer. Brother.
It's like truck drivers out here.
Where are you out on the road right now?
Anybody? I'm about 30 miles south of the gauntlet.
All right. Well, be careful, and we appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, Phil.
See you, buddy. So with regards to national security, before I even get into what the rest of the world is doing, here's another thing you might want to know. Red State has an article that came out yesterday. Red State, Trump is preparing an executive order to cull the military of woke generals and admirals. Well, I hope so. I'm for that. Listen, there's a bunch of folks right now at the senior flag officer level that probably need to start getting their affairs in order to retire. And they should. if they have ever gone, like, oh, by the way, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, C.Q. Brown, if they have ever gone on the record declaring their love for DEI or critical race theory, if they have ever willfully shut down something claiming that it smacked of systemic racism or what, if they have ever tried to drum somebody out of the ranks because of a bare allegation of, you know, EEO violations or sexual harassment without giving them due process, if they have ever tried to force somebody out for vaccine mandates, then I say, by God, hit the road. If they have ever stood up and said, we agree that climate change is the existential threat that the DOD should be focusing on, and I want green energy Humvees to ride around the battlefield with, then get rid of them. There are some warfighters in the ranks. There are. And there are some warfighters who are general. I'll never forget, man, when I was with 20th Special Forces Group, we had a commanding general from USAFIC, which is Special Forces Command, come in. Dude was a warfighter. He didn't care. He was like spitting nails and talking hard stuff. And somebody said something about doing things, you know, in terms of working with diplomatic efforts. And he said, I'm for 5-5-6 diplomacy. We need some of that right now. I'm ready to go back and see a military that will step on, will win friends and kill enemies. That's what I want. I've got a sign on the wall behind me right now in the studio. It was a homemade sign we had on the team room wall in Baghdad. I brought it home with me. It's in a frame behind me. It says, win friends, kill enemies. That's what we want in our DOD. So Red State says, and I got a couple minutes here, Trump transition team is considering an executive order that would send into retirement any 3- or 4-star general that is deemed to be, quote, lacking in requisite leadership qualities. If fairly applied, that standard could force a supermajority of the 44 4-stars and 162 3-stars currently on active duty to go find a new home. It's apparently an executive order that's being drafted for Trump by some outside consultants. It's one that they say is being reviewed by Trump. It would require the establishment of what they call a warrior board, a board of retired generals and non-commissioned officers who would send recommendations to the president as to basically who needs to go. So people who wouldn't worry about their own career because their career is already in retirement, and they would look at it and go, this is a bad one, sir, he needs to go. And listen, Trump can fire generals. Don't anybody think he can't. The commander-in-chief, if you have a commission, you are commissioned under the purview of the President of the United States. You serve at his goodwill. And so one guy, a former Army lawyer, a JAG officer, says, it looks like the administration is getting ready to purge anyone who's not going to be a yes man. I don't think that's the case. I think they're looking for people who are going to quit with the wokeness, get back to war fighting, and be committed leaders who are going to say and do the things that the military is designed for. Get us away from the wokeness. I'm just saying. All right, I tell you what. Before I get into what world leaders are saying and talk about national security from that perspective, let's take a break. We'll take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. So I got to tell you, two things. First of all, I just saw a video on social media, and all it says is, okay, these videos are getting out of control. But AI-generated videos of, you know, today, President Biden and President Trump met together at the White House. And it's a video of them, like, partying together, going fishing together, riding horses together, hiking through the mountains together, playing golf, drinking a glass of wine together. It's like, these AI-generated videos are hilarious, but they're also a little scary because, I mean, you look at it and go, wow. So you can just tell AI to do that and it'll create those things for you? That's just a little freaky.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever used Grok on X.
It scares me.
Does it really? I like to. It's fun to play around with and make pictures, you know, but then
don't you be making pictures of me.
Not going to. But then you realize, this is kind of freaky.
It's very freaky. All right, hey, listen, but one other thing I wanted to tell you guys, too, before we go any further is if you'd like to get a copy daily of the Right Side Report, that's our new email blast that goes out every morning. It tells you everything going on here at Right Side Media, Right Side Media is the parent company. Right Side Radio is just one of our productions. We have multiple video podcasts. We have the audio podcast. We have the radio show. We have written op-eds that get published in a variety of news outlets around the region every week. So, yeah, if you'd like to get a copy of what's going on, everything to do Right Side Media, and update you, even get you ready for the show today. It'll tell you what the dippers are going to be and all that kind of stuff in advance. All you got to do is text the word newsletter. It's one word, newsletter, to our number that we use for everything else, 833-68-WRITE. Just text the word newsletter, and it will come back to you immediately with an opportunity to hit a link and sign up for it. Send us your email address. We'll get you in the system. We've gotten a ton of signups already. This thing's just rolled out in the last week, so we'd love to get you in the list. And it's about to go much bigger, so get in early so you're one of the OGs. Be one of the original gangsters on the Right Side Ruffian, Right Side Report.
Also today we passed 500 subscribers on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we did.
Big milestone, but if you haven't already, go subscribe to the Right Side Media YouTube channel. And now it's time to get the X page to 500. We're about 40 away from that. So follow us on X as well at @RightSide_Media and help us get those follower numbers up.
Outstanding. Good stuff. Good job, JP. We're hearing about what Trump's going to do domestically, right, with the Department of Defense. This whole first dipper. I mean, I'm spending time on it because it's just so huge, so important. And we do know that he's going to be on a culture war counteroffensive, right? I mean, he's coming in with the intent to transform the U.S. military back to its glory days. Promises to slash spending, but that's because he's going to refine spending, not cut the budget, not cut benefits, and wait till you hear the scary stories. Oh, he's going to make us less safe. Have you seen Afghanistan? He's going to make us less capable. Have you seen the fact that the Navy can't build ships right now? He's going to take away from our ability to do things. What things are you talking about? You mean like sending all the money over to Ukraine? He's going to thin the top ranks. He's going to roll back efforts. TheHill.com wrote a great piece. It says he also, by the way, is going to be presenting policies to deal with controversial culture war issues. Yes. Yes, he is. I think you're going to see some major revision in the efforts to implement DEI and say that systemic racism is pervasive in the military. Democrats are going to argue. I mean, they're going to come at it. They're going to say, we've got to have our DEI. The military is not meant to be a diversity, equity, and inclusion place, but not in the way they call it. We are already, the military is already the melting pot of our society. Foxholes have men and sometimes women of every background, creed, color, and race together in foxholes. We don't discriminate against their religious beliefs, unless, of course, they don't want the vaccine. Then we do, apparently. So there's going to be a series of what I call culture war issues that the new SecDef are going to have to pursue. By the way, keep in mind, we are about to have, I'm getting more and more on board with Pete Hegseth. I'm still looking forward to seeing how he addresses. I almost want to hear from him soon. Same with Matt Gaetz. I want to hear from them soon. But Pete Hegseth is a combat veteran of the most recent wars who served capably. Our vice president is a former Marine, and our new national security advisor is a former Green Beret. I'm kind of digging that. And by the way, none of them were at the flag officer level. Like, vice president-elect J.D. Vance was a grunt. I think he got out as an E-4, Lance Corporal, I believe. And then you've got, I believe that Matt Waltz may have gotten out as a major. I'm not positive, but he was a Green Beret with multiple combat tours. And then you've got, of course, looking at Pete Hegseth, got out as a captain or a major of National Guard duty, but he had tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and served. I'm stoked about it. All right. Now, what's happening on the international level? Well, a lot. I still haven't gotten to it yet. We're about to wind up hitting the break before I can even get to it. But I'm going to tell you right now, world leaders are already sitting up and taking notice. Yes, they are. So when we get back from this, I'm going to tell you about what happened with a phone call with Putin, what other world leaders are saying, and why Iran is noticeably scared. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama, y'all. Alabama, I mean it when I say it, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'm still on national security. Notice I'm not calling it national insecurity anymore. That's what I called it for the last 3.5 years of this radio show's existence, was national insecurity. Nope, it's national security, because I believe we're heading in a good direction. I just got a text here. Thomas Mathen says, any place for General Flynn? Since apparently President Trump indicated in 2023, you have to stay healthy because we're bringing you back. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And if so... what role would he want? Because I'll be honest with you, he may be somewhat burnt. I mean, he may have got his belly full of D.C. for all we know. But is there room for him? Certainly there's room. And I, listen, who knows? We need a new Secretary of the Army, right? So I could see some of these things actually taking place. Does Flynn want to come back? I don't know the answer to it. Is there room for him? There certainly is. I would love to see General Flynn come back in. I remember back before Flynn got appointed to the Trump administration the first time, watching him do interviews, I remember literally thinking, I could work for that guy. And it's not often that I see somebody from a distance and decide, yep, but he's a yep to me. I could see General Flynn being in there somewhere. Jeff Rowe from Indiana texted in and says, here's one for you, Phil. Marjorie Taylor Greene as the education secretary. He said, wouldn't that be fun? It'd be fun, but we can't keep robbing the House. We got to keep some people in the House with our slim majority. I'll tell you who I want to see, Jeff, in Department of Education is Corey DeAngelis. Corey DeAngelis, who is the crusader for school choice, the actual combatant against the teachers' unions, I think their heads would explode if suddenly he was the Secretary of Education with the stated purpose of winding that sucker up and shutting it down and sending it all back to the states. That to me would be lots and lots of fun. Victor from Huntsville says, don't forget Tulsi's military service. Yes, indeed. And by the way, people don't realize Tulsi Gabbard actually got her commission as an Army officer right here in Alabama. She came through the OCS school at the old Fort McClellan. It was a National Guard OCS she went through. And so, yeah, she got her commission here in Alabama. Dylan from Athens is new on the newsletter. Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate you. Sign up at the link it sent you. I see you got it. So good to go. David from Hoax Bluff says, how about we cut the federal government by 80%? 80 is a little steep, but I think we're going to cut it a lot. How about that? I really do believe there are people right now that are already considering their retirement options, that are literally saying, I know he's going to cut me, so I'm going to go ahead and go. I'm betting you that's happening right now. All right, listen, before I go too much further, let me jump into the other part of national security. What are the foreign leaders saying right now? Well, I've got a piece right here from the Daily Caller that literally says, Trump is back, foreign leaders are taking notice. Dateline, 3 days ago. It says, less than a week after the landslide election of former President Donald Trump, America's enemies are running for cover. Hamas has now said it is seeking an end to the war. You don't say. How about you pony up some hostages? Sorry, sacks of crap. Russia's Vladimir Putin has now remarked to reporters that Trump's desire to end the Ukraine crisis actually deserves some attention. You think? By the way, Vladimir Putin also said this. I had never heard this quote, and I don't know when he said it, but he's quoted in the article of Daily Caller here saying, as regards to when Trump got shot, that Vladimir Putin said, quote, his behavior at the moment of an attempt on his life left an impression on me. He turned out to be a brave man. Interesting. Meanwhile, Biden has trouble walking through sand. Kamala Harris doesn't remember when she's been to the border and is not sure how things work.
The left likes to say that's a bad thing, that Putin respects Trump. Oh, well, they're best friends. He's selling or giving away all of our secrets to Putin to try to impress him, which obviously is not true. But I think we saw that the only U.S. president that was not Russia did not invade another country under when Putin was in charge was Trump. Trump's presidency was the only one. So maybe it's not such a bad thing when Putin respects the U.S. president.
Yeah.
And it's not just reckless provocation from, you know, people like Joe Biden and, you know, Anthony Blinken. It's done nothing but kill Ukrainian men. And it's wiped out a complete generation of Ukrainians. So maybe it's a good thing that we come bring
maybe,
that to an end.
Just maybe. How about yes? China's Xi Jinping quoted last Thursday as saying that they welcome the right way to get along in the new era. They're talking about getting along now. And they point out in here, too, what have we dealt with now for the last few years? We had the disgraceful retreat from Afghanistan. The whole world saw it. The whole world knew they were dealing with a feckless leadership that would let anything happen. So the world watched that fiasco, right? And then we saw interstage left, Russian invasion of Ukraine, Chinese spy balloons, Middle East goes up in flames, military recruiting dropped to 40-year lows. Trump's new national security team, though, is going to inherit a Middle East that's engulfed in violence, and China marching towards Taiwan right now. And Ukraine, you mentioned a moment ago, is the largest war in Europe since 1945. All that to say, Trump's going to come back and make a difference. Here's by the way, here's one of the things that's got Iran taking notice. Iran is taking notice because Trump used to have what he called his maximum pressure campaign against Iran. He kept them drained of billions. They did not have the ability to fund their terror organizations like Hamas and the Houthis and Hezbollah. And one of the architects of that maximum pressure campaign was a guy named Brian Hook. Brian Hook is now leading the transition team at the U.S. Department of State for Trump. What does that tell you? Oh, shoot. We're going to have to deal with him again. Yes, you will. Trump apparently also issued a major warning to Putin last week. Story here on AmericanMilitaryNews.com. We have apparently that Donald Trump warned Russian President Vladimir Putin last Thursday not to escalate the war in Ukraine, emphasizing the United States has a significant military presence in Europe. Okay, you may be saying, I thought Trump was going to get us out of that. Here's what I think is very likely happening. First of all, Trump doesn't want Ukraine to lose, Russia to win. He doesn't want that. Nobody does. He wants Russia to get back in its place and recognize that there's a new sheriff in town. But Trump is not going to have the open checkbook that Biden had. The Trump administration is going to require a plan. They're going to require a strategy. They're going to require the ability to know that if we invest anything in there, it is worthy. And Trump's going to also require NATO to step up. Now, NATO's been doing things. Don't get me wrong. NATO's been doing, Poland especially. Poland, Germany, They've been doing, but NATO as a whole needs to pony up because us writing checks on a daily basis is not going to continue to happen, especially in the absence of a plan. So I do believe right now that Trump is absolutely going to maintain pressure on Russia. It's just going to come in a different way. Trump's going to maintain pressure on Russia by shifting the world's energy away from buying from Russia. So suddenly Russia is now becoming, you know, less capable of funding its war effort. He's going to put sanctions on North Korea for sending troops to fight Ukraine, because that's happening right now. 10,000 North Korean troops are now entering the battlefield to fight for Russia. He's going to wind up putting sanctions in place, and he's going to also put pressure on NATO. And you're going to see an entirely different view that's going to take America off of being the check writer in chief to being someone who brings pressure on the world stage using the full force of what we call DIME, D-I-M-E, diplomacy, intelligence, military, and economics. That's the full force of the United States in all capacities. When you use it, when you use the force of DIME as an economic incentive, as a military incentive, as an intelligence or informational incentive, and as a diplomatic incentive, you drive the train forward with a concerted effort. You don't just write checks. So, yeah, you're going to see DIME come back into play. And Russia's going to wind up being on notice. Trump also says, by the way, he's spoken with roughly 70 world leaders since last week. 70 world leaders since last week. It's a whole new day. I wonder if Biden has spoken to 70 in 4 years. You know it? I just, by the way, a piece here on Fox News, Dateline about a week ago, says, after the president-elect Trump's victory, Iran is now prepared to contend with the man it tried to assassinate for years. Tehran has been reportedly interfering in the U.S. election. We heard that. We also know that Iran may have been behind a potential assassination attempt on Trump. But the Islamic Republic now is terrified, says one Iranian expert at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Says the regime knows that it can ill afford any more economic shocks. Even the return of maximum pressure again to Islamic Republic is going to cause major economic problems. Right now, we're also seeing Iran's currency falling to an all-time low. They are on notice, and they are worried. So is it a new day for national security? Yes, it is. Yes, actually, it is. What else have I got in the stack before I go to the break, just to make sure? Well, I think we're going to have to look at what it's going to mean for the defense budget. A lot of you folks out there listening right now, we got a bunch of green suiters at Redstone, a bunch of defense contractors in the audience, a bunch of veterans. I think you're going to see some of the defense hawks having to sort of mesh themselves with the fiscal hawks a little more. I think you're going to see a tightening of the purse strings, not in a way that says we're not committed to readiness, but in a way that says we're not committed to bloating and having legacy projects that continue to get funded every year. And we're also not going to see this endless stream of DEI-required initiatives mixed in with the federal contracting system. So I do believe you're going to see a tightening of the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. Story here on Defense News seems to confirm that. And we'll wait and see how that plays out. All right, that's national security, you guys. Man, lots of it. I'll be honest with you. I'm, as an Army guy myself, as a generational Army officer, as somebody who has family members still on active duty, I feel good about where we're headed. I feel a whole lot better than I did about the last 4 years. Lord. All right, we're going to take a break right now. I'll come back and catch up on your text messages. Don't forget, top of the hour. My gosh, there's a lot of texts. Top of the hour, we're going to have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Jerry from Decatur texted in. He says, Phil, your dime definition, is that where the saying drop a dime on somebody comes from? So I think it applies to the Trump worldview. No, actually, I believe drop the dime on somebody comes from the old school, you know, payphones where you put a dime in and you call the police on somebody. So you drop the dime on them. But but no, I think that I think you're going to see dime in full effect, though, on the in the acronym sense. Ron from Huntsville says Tulsi Gabbard is Trump's pick for director of national intelligence. I saw that. And the liberal heads are already exploding over it. Chris from Gadsden says, so Phil for press secretary? You mean I have to follow Karine Jean-Pierre?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nowhere to go but up, right? I'm just, wow. Okay. You'll have to talk to the lovely Charlene about that one. If she let me have a third job, that'd be awesome. Chip from Muscle Shoals says, hey, Phil, as soon as you mentioned Lloyd Austin, I suddenly became okay with Pete Hegseth's appointment. No doubt. I mean, all you got to do is look back at the last 4 years of actual failures by Pentagon leadership. True failures. Like, why do y'all still have jobs? Failures. And then you realize Pete's got nowhere to go but up. Steve from Huntsville says they need to keep the French lady as press secretary and force her to tell the truth for a change. She couldn't do it. She couldn't get through it. She wouldn't be able to. It wouldn't work. It would be like, you know, watching the Wicked Witch melt at the end of Wizard of Oz. Help me, I'm melting. And your little dog, too. Oh, Karine Jean-Pierre. I am not going to miss her. She's going to be on The View or something.
I think they got a spot waiting for her at The View table.
There's a warm seat just waiting for her.
She fits right in.
Just fits right in. Oh, Mike from Florence says, 11/13/24, Biden walks through sand like I walk through sand wearing flip-flops. Yes. trying to haul a cooler and keep your kids from running amok. Ken from Decatur says, General Flynn for FBI director. Oh, wow. 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 Can you imagine? He'd be walking in the door just looking like, you know, he's about to get in the ring for WWF. I mean, Michael, for those who don't remember, Michael Flynn was actually targeted by the FBI, and that's why he went through so much stuff. So, yeah, bring him in as FBI director. Good Lord. Can you imagine? I mean, he was, by the way, he was, one of his last major positions was he was the director of Army Intelligence. So he's, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be something else. Jimmy from Del Rose, Tennessee says, Phil, I'm with you about Matt Gaetz. Lately, he's been coming over as a showboater to me. I need to see more also. Yeah, jury's out. But, you know, I mean, good people that I trust, to include President Trump, think a lot of him. So we'll wait and see how it goes.
Tuberville also posted a strong, not really an endorsement, but a strong good job to President Trump for appointing him. So
for Matt Gaetz?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I saw him post one about Pete Hegseth. He posted one about Matt Gaetz also?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Tuberville did?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that gives me some comfort. All right. So I got a bunch of text messages I'll catch up on. Right before I do that, let me just remind you guys, we do a ton of stuff here at Right Side Media, and the latest edition of the video podcast, Right Philosophy, just came out today. Posted around 11 o'clock today?
11
JP?
O'clock, yep.
11 o'clock today. This one's called Now We Fight. So check it out. Now We Fight is the latest video podcast, Right Philosophy. It is up as of today. You can get it at rightsidemedia.org and also on YouTube, am I correct?
Yep, on the YouTube channel. Just go to our page at Right Side Media and you'll find it there.
And if you do go to our YouTube page, please go ahead and subscribe. Mm-hmm. We'd appreciate that because that actually really helps us as a company to grow. The more subscribers we have, the more capable we are to do more things for you. So that would be a lot. We had a brand new texter in the line, Steve from Athens, Alabama. Steve from Athens, we're glad you're with us. He says, at least with Gaetz as the AG, he won't continue to be a roadblock in the House. Well, there's that. There is that. I mean, I think that Gaetz was right to want to get rid of McCarthy. I like our current Speaker of the House, but I also think that Gaetz got a little bit, is uppity the word? No, I don't know. Grandiose, I guess, is the way I might look at it. And so there are days when I look at him and go, wow. But like, here's a comment. I'm watching one. This is a video. It's a little, 10-second video of Matt Gaetz being interviewed by a reporter. The reporter says, did you say that women attending abortion rallies are ugly? Matt Gaetz, yes. Reporter, well, what do you say to people who think these comments are offensive? Matt Gaetz, be offended. It's pretty hilarious, actually. John from Huntsville, Texas. Phil, why are they still counting votes? Because shouldn't all the votes be counted by now? John, yes. Yes, they should. All the votes should be done. We are a week and a day since we voted. What are they doing? I don't know how to tell you, John. I don't know how to tell you. But it's shameful, and they ought to be embarrassed, just so you know. State of Arizona, state of Hawaii, state of what, Alaska, state of California. Get your freaking act together. You're embarrassing us. You're embarrassing yourselves. All right, Gary from Decatur says, I think your perspective on Gaetz is mostly right. I think he has no ties to the swamp. That's the big plus. Someone looking at him with past administrations and their transgressions with the Constitution and lawfare? Could be interesting. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, Grand Council. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. It is Hump Day. Some refer to it as Trump Day now because it's 1 week since we learned that he is the president-elect. But welcome to the middle of the week, one way or the other. And this is the time, 4 o'clock on that day, when we do a thing we call the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren who've been doing talk radio longer than I have, and we ping each other with questions. So let me just call the roll for the Grand Council. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and oh, by the way, the editor-in-chief for 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. Also from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting, host of his own show, The Dale Jackson Show, in the mornings, allegedly on other channels too. And, oh, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer News. Hey, Dale Jackson, are you there?
Oh!
All right, stand at ease. We got everybody. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, the Grand Council is convened. I'm going to throw it over to Dale Jackson first. What you got for us, bud?
All right, my first question to you is this. Matt Gaetz? Really? this seems to be like the first big swing and a miss. I'm suggesting this is a sacrificial lamb being given to the media to say, here, toy with this for a little bit.
Interesting thought. Yeah, so I'll be honest with you. The jury's out with me on Matt Gaetz, pun intended. I didn't even know he's a lawyer. I had to go look it up. He went to William & Mary, apparently. He entered the bar in 2008, I believe, practiced law for a few years. Yeah. Actually, he did leave. He was actually disbarred briefly, apparently, for not paying his bar license fees. But he got it done and reinstated. But, I don't know, man. I look at it and think, I wanted somebody like a Ken Paxton from Texas or a Ted Cruz to come in there who I thought was judicious, solid, rock solid, super conservative, go-getter, but not a grandstander. So that's my concern, is we got a guy who's known for being a flamboyant, kind of a grandstander, who's a hoot, and I don't know that I've disagreed with him on much, but the reality is he's just not at all what I was expecting. Jeff?
This is wanting a puppy dog for Christmas and asking for a pony. It's a negotiating tactic. It takes the heat off the other appointments. But I think there's an outside chance he could get confirmed, and then who knows what the world looks like for that point forward. But it puts the pressure on some senators too. I mean, who's going to walk the plank and vote against Matt Gaetz on the Republican side? There's a lot of intrigue here. The only thing does Trump will take a hit here if he loses. It's a risky pick. The other thing that bothers me about it is this: we're whittling down the House majority.
Yes.
With some of these. So I don't know. Is it? Do you really want to squander that for whatever is going on here?
So let me ask you all this, and I don't know because the announcement came out while I was on the air. But has Matt Gaetz said he's accepted this? I mean, this is like he's like all in. I'm for this. I'm forward to be.
He's social mediaed it out.
Okay, well then he's planning on being the dude. You know, the idea of him being a sacrificial lamb, his personality and his public image does not strike me as the kind of guy who would willingly commit to be a sacrificial lamb. So I think he's planning on being the AG. Just to be honest, it's your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
Unless we're relitigating the age of consent, I just don't see this as an important thing for us to get into. I don't foresee any of this becoming a thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that he's able to say, you know what, in effort to maintain the House majority, I intend to go ahead and to stay where I am, and then get a decent position on a committee. But we'll see. I mean, I don't want to just throw it out, but it's one that I'm not entirely comfortable with. It's the first one that I've gone, huh? But anyway, Jeff, next question. What do you got?
Did Katie Britt save face today by breaking late for Rick Scott with that initial House Senate majority vote?
Did she save face? There's a lot of people out there saying she's lied about her vote, which I don't believe. I don't think she would have any reason to lie about the vote. Do I think she may have counted the votes, recognized she was not going to hurt Thune, talk to him and say, I really got to do this for my back home folks? And he said, yeah, go for it. I do think a little bit of that may have happened. It's not unheard of for people to vote count, find out that what they really want to have happen is already safe, and then know that they need to toe the line in a public way. I saw it all the time in Montgomery. So I don't know if she did that or not. But the fact is, I do think that most Alabamians wanted Rick Scott, and I think most Americans wanted Rick Scott, and we got John Thune, which is where I was going to head next. I'm not enthused with the Thune, to be honest with you. I think Katie Britt, I think she did the right thing by coming out for Rick Scott, and I think she was right to save face doing it. Dale?
The people who are pressuring her are never going to believe what she says anyway. So
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. And you know, at the end of the day, a week from now, we'll be having a completely different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. What are you thinking, Jeff?
Yeah, I think she was probably going to walk the plank for John Cornyn had it come. She had her vote been needed, but when it looked like Cornyn was in the runoff, I think he gave up Cruz, and I think he gave up Katie Britt. There were two abstentions on the Republican side, which made that possible. And it was just sort of a wink and a nod. But, it doesn't matter how she got there. She got there, she's there, and I think she will. This wasn't going to make or break her anyway, but I do think it's something that Republicans aren't going to be able to attack her on.
So what was the vote count? How did Rick Scott fare?
He came up too short of making it into the runoff.
Okay.
All he needed was to flip one vote. It would have been a tie. And if he got two votes, it would have been him and Thune in the runoff. So that's why there were two abstentions, like I said. That's why I think they gave up Britt and Cruz at the end.
Well, we'll wait and see. All right, let's talk about then. I'm going to go with my question. I'm going to stick with this theme. John Thune, is he McConnell 2.0, or does he read the room and recognize that he's got a different mandate from the Republican base right now, and that he's got to get on board with an agenda for moving fast over the next 2 years? Dale.
I think Trump's – I liked what Tuberville said. You know, Tuberville's like, look, Trump's calling the shots here. It sounds like everyone's on board with that idea. So I think that's where we are. And I think there's been a mandate. They're already trying to parse. Well, he didn't get a majority. You know, he only got 49.9% or whatever they're doing. And it's just the whole thing is just kind of ridiculous. Or plurality, I guess, would be part of the real way to put that. But either way, their whole thing is the media's issue is going to be, how do we delegitimize Trump? And the best way to legitimize Trump is to get a bunch of stuff done very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's what they have to do.
Jeff.
Thune, I think, is McConnell light. I would have been a little more worried about Cornyn, only except that Cornyn was going to be up in 2026. So you could have applied pressure, and because he does not want to face a Republican challenger in a Texas Republican primary.
Yeah.
But I think I certainly think he's McConnell light. I don't buy this that Trump's going to run the show in the Senate at all. It never has worked that way. It didn't work that way with McConnell. It didn't work that way with Bill Frist. It didn't work that way with Trent Lott. There's never been a time when the president runs the Senate. It didn't even work that way for Obama with Harry Reid. So, it's going to be a challenge no matter what.
Well, and I don't want Trump to run the Senate. I mean, we got to maintain the strong working relationship and the ability to have a unified agenda without saying that we have one branch running all the other branches. I mean,
Then Gates goes down. That's the first test, though, right? I mean, am I wrong?
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at it right now and I'm still trying to figure out how serious Gates himself is about the run. But I want to hear Gates give a speech on this, because I think his decorum is going to tell me a lot about whether if he comes out there and goes whoop-de-doo, look at me, then I think that we're looking at an unserious candidate.
Senator, you can't do that, because Gates really is a good speaker. His dad, I mean, he has the art nailed down. I wouldn't use that as my barometer if I were you.
Oh, it's not the only barometer, but I still want to read the presence of the person giving the speech. Right now,
The other thing you got to think about too, guys, is this. I mean, if you look around the House of Representatives, he's picking people from safe Republican seats.
Oh, absolutely, he's got to.
So I think that is one of the safest Republican seats is the first congressional district in Florida. I think that has something to do with him and Waltz and Stefanik as well.
Well, so that brings up a point. And answer me this before I go to the break. How safe is Stefanik's seat? Obviously, that was part of the calculus. I'm sure they didn't just willy-nilly pick Stefanik and not care about what happened to the House majority. But is that a pretty safe seat?
That's a safe seat. Yes, that's a safe R.
All right. Well, so back to the question of Thune, and I'll wrap this up before we go to the break. The reality is Thune had better read the room. There's going to be an angry electorate. Now, I do believe that Trump's agenda has to be moved, but they need to embrace it as their agenda. Thune needs to say, these are the things we want to do, and we agree with President Trump. But if we're going to wind up having slow rolling on important things and pull the old John McCain single vote kills everything like Obamacare, then I'm thinking that Thune is just nothing more than, a poison in the well. But we'll see. I'm not enthused with Thune. I was looking for Rick Scott, and I also knew that he was a long shot because I could read the room too. All right, that's it. Round one of the Grand Council with Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, and little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Round two coming up. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, we're going right back to round two of the Grand Council. Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and me. Dale Jackson, you're first. What you got?
All right, this is just came to me, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Oh, Lord.
There's two responses to the Matt Gaetz thing, which everything else I think Trump has done so far has been pretty good. I don't like this, but there's two responses. It's Donald Trump is pressure testing America. How much will the American people put up with from this man? And then the other is, make love to me, Trump. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Should anyone take either of these sides seriously, or is this a stress test on us all?
Everything's a stress test right now, according to the media. I'm watching right now. Anthony Scaramucci is on CNN giving his reflections
good
on Matt Gaetz. I mean, that's certainly a wise pundit to go. The guy he was in office for what, three minutes? Yes. But I think that the liberal heads are going to explode if he appointed Clarence Thomas to move over from the Supreme Court to the AG. I mean, it would make liberal heads explode. I mean, there's no way you can find the right candidate. So, heck, pick the one you want. Jeff.
I agree. I mean, it doesn't it's after an election. None of this matters. It's noise. People are going to tune it out anyway. We're exhausted, and are we really – you know, are we going to want to make love to Matt Gaetz, or are we really
don't ever say that on my show again, ever.
Too old, Jeff.
Are we really going to be stress tested as Americans? I mean, just at this point, it's, you know, hit me up again in about a year and a half when it's midterm time.
Yeah, right now, I think the Republican base is so relieved that the election's over and that we won so big that he could almost appoint, you know, his you know, son-in-law, and no one would question it. I mean, anyway. Matt Gaetz, though, little strange. We'll wait and see how it plays out, but we'll see. Jeff, your question.
I think this is
a pivotal
time.
And make sure it has
nothing
to do with making love to Matt Gaetz. Please don't do that.
Don't tempt me, Senator. I think this is a pivotal time for our mainstream legacy media.
Yeah.
I think it's you're starting to see the writing on the wall.
Yep.
Look, because the media, these cable news channels, the New York Times, Washington Post, they exist for one reason, that they are seeing the value is not, they don't make money, okay? They're not, you know, they don't have a good bottom line, but they're a loss leader because they offer value and that they shape policy, public opinion, and so on and so forth. That's not true anymore. I think, and tell me what y'all think of this. I think we're starting to see the beginning of the end here. You know, like Chris Wallace leaving, parting ways with CNN was like one of the first, but you hear the reports about MSNBC, Comcast shopping that around. I think the media will look totally different in a year and a half or so.
I give it a little bit longer than a year and a half for the total difference, but I agree. I mean, I think 1819 News and Right Side Media are poised for success right now simply because that's where everything's moving. They're moving away from non-traditional platforms. They're moving into allowing for a grassroots media, even a regional media, to be more successful and more trustworthy than these national corporate giants who sit up there and pull up people like Anthony Scaramucci to give us an opinion. I mean, Joy Reid... Karine Jean-Pierre is going to have a job on one of them, and you look at it and go, why is that even worthy of your time? And then you wonder how many people are going to buy ads on that. So I agree. I think there's going to be a major shift, and I suspect that now that you and I are poised in the position we are in, that Dale Jackson is going to try and form his own, you know, media company. Dale.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's coming. I can't wait. There'll always be a legacy media. The distrust in them has grown significantly. Twitter and other social media outlets have exposed them to the point where you have guys like Kyle Whitmire saying, I'm leaving Twitter. I need to go to Blue Sky. This is so mean. And they won't even say Blue Sky. Instead, they're saying the bluer place. Like they're pretending they're clever. And they're just sad. It's a sad,
it is sad
thing to see this legacy media doing this to themselves, because it doesn't have to be this way. They could be adults and actually try to have conversations with people they disagree with, as opposed to trying to say, why are you so dumb? Why are you doing such these dumb things? We smart, you dumb. And it's just, I don't think anyone buys it. How many times
have we left Twitter?
How many times have who left Twitter?
I mean, no, I'm talking about just like all these people. Wasn't it Telegram for a while?
Yes.
Yep, how many times has this happened in the last like year and a half?
Yeah, Parler. Parler lasted about a week. I look at it and like Don Lemon left today. He left Twitter today. He left a big note for everybody to read about why he was leaving. Whatever, Don. Goodbye. Nobody even notices. But yeah, the reality is it's changing, and I think you're right. 1 minute left. Let me just ask you this real quick question. Of the appointments we have so far, everybody, we got Tulsi Gabbard, we got Matt Waltz, we got, you know, Stefanik, we got all of them. What is there any one appointment that surprised you? Like you look at it and went, oh, didn't see that coming. Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, the Pentagon. I don't know what to make of that, but that was one that was kind of wow.
Dale.
I don't mind the Hesketh one. I did not see it coming. The Matt Gaetz one is shocking because it's just so easily defeated. I mean, he's got so much stuff.
You sound like Quinn Hill. You're just knocking off. We get it. You don't like Matt Gaetz, okay?
But you're prettier than Quinn Hillier, just so you know. There's that.
Look at Cameron Smith.
Okay. Nobody knows who Quinn Hillier is, so stop saying his name.
If you ever call me that again. First, we talked about making love to Matt Gaetz, and now we're – okay, anyway. Bottom line is, Hegseth was my first surprise, but Matt Gaetz is a true surprise. I'm looking at it going, oh, never thought I'd see that. All right, fellas, appreciate you. As always, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson, WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming back, we're going to do some Doge. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, the one I'm living in, the one I'm in right now, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, we just did the Grand Council, and I got to remind you guys that the Grand Council is sponsored for you by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. So listen, you may be someone who is doing all you can for your retirement. You've got your retirement portfolio, or maybe you have a money manager, or even for that matter, something sponsored by your employer. You may be shocked if you go through your investments to find out that some of your investments are going to companies that support woke and non-Christian stuff that you would never want to put your money into. But yet there it is. Well, how do you get away from that? Well, Inspire Advisors are the specialists in this. Inspire Advisors, they are big into what's known as biblically responsible investing, BRI. It's a thing. Biblically responsible investing. They can help you review your portfolio and then help you find what I would call more biblically aligned alternatives that will return on your investment just as much without being filled up with all the things you say you don't stand for. That being said, Inspire Advisors is actually hosting a class this month. You can still sign up for it. There is limited space available, but they are hosting a class this month. I think it's next week. But Inspire Advisors is hosting a class to help people learn how to review their own portfolios, you know, assign their risk analysis and make sure they have a better return on their investments. All you got to do is go to their website and sign up for it. It's free, but space is limited. It's free. The website is moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. Inspire Advisors. That's Paul Breyer and his team, and they are good at what they do, and they are the sponsors of the Grand Council, and we appreciate it very much. All right, let's jump on into something that I find rather amusing. So you may be shocked to find out where some of your tax dollars are going. Then again, I know this audience, you might not be that shocked. But right now, we are being told that Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, two amazing and super intelligent entrepreneurial guys who have run big organizations and made a lot of money doing it, are going to be in charge of this thing called Doge. D-O-G-E. Am I saying that right? You always look correct. Amused when I say that.
It's just funny because it's been a meme like my whole I would say childhood, but like ever since I was like in middle school, Doge has been a funny meme. So it's just funny to see it as a department of the government now, you know.
The Department of Governmental Efficiency, Doge. Yeah, I mean, the memes are all over the place. And what I'm loving is the fact that these two guys are all about refining and streamlining and doing things differently. But so the Department of Governmental Efficiency, it's apparently not going to be a true governmental entity because that would be called growing government. So they're setting it up as an outside entity that will give advice and basically work with the president so he can see what he needs to see. But they'll have carte blanche. They'll be like czars. They'll have the ability to see into the systems, see into the departments, see into the fiscal analysis, and pick out things that perhaps need to be streamlined. Now, some of the funniest memes that are out there right now, like, have you ever seen the movie Office Space?
Please. No, but I've seen clips from Office Space today. I know exactly which
There's so
memes
many
you're talking
inside
about.
Jokes from Office Space. Like if you got a red, you know, swing line stapler, you know that you're the guy going to the basement. Or if the guy comes around with a coffee cup and goes, "Yeah, did you get your reports in on time?" You know, there's so many one-liners out of that movie. But one of the things that happened was this company was downsizing, and they brought in these guys who their specialty was streamlining. Two guys. Memes are out there right now superimposing Musk and Ramaswamy's faces over those guys saying, "So what exactly would you say you do here?" Government employees are allegedly getting very antsy right now because they recognize that the jig is up. Now, listen, we got a bunch of great civil servants, a bunch of them. And we also got a bunch of duds. And we got a bunch of people who are not required to make budget. And we got a bunch of people who are not required to have a work product. And they got a bunch of people who are not required to prove the worth of their own existence in government. And yet they get paid by the taxpayers. During COVID, when the private sector was shutting down and going out of business, those private sector folks went home and just waited it out and got their paycheck every 2 weeks. Okay, that being said, let's take a look at where some money is going. Like, for instance, Robbie Starbuck posted just today on Twitter. He says, "You're currently funding a $2 million grant to, quote, strengthen transgender-led organizations to deliver gender-affirming care and provide economic empowerment opportunities in Guatemala." Why? Why are our taxpayer dollars going to something like that? Is there an explanation? I have no idea. But that's happening a lot. And I've got a piece here from Heritage. Heritage has a great thing that shows some of what we've been dealing with. Like what kind of things might actually get cut. There's a guy named David Ditch. I actually had him on the show a couple years ago from Heritage Foundation. He's one of their fiscal analysts. He's one of the guys who writes the reports that talks about the money. He shows things in this piece that came out in May of this year, showing about inflation numbers still showing 3.5% annual growth, that the Biden administration aggressively using the swamps and enormous budgets to fund leftist causes. Legislators examining agencies and programs are looking for places to find savings, but Biden administration won't do it. Well, now we got a whole new freaking sheriff, and they're running through something called DOGE. Well, that being said, pray tell, what kind of things have we been funding? How about $45 million? For diversity inclusion scholarships in Burma. I don't know why. It just has been. Why? Because they can spend your money. That's why. How about $3 million for girl-centered climate action? What does that even mean? Do you know what girl-centered climate action? I'm scared to ask. Girl-centered climate action.
I can only imagine.
You know, they first have to define what a girl is.
Yep. Well, of course, a girl is somebody who identifies as a girl, which we can't define what that is. So, it's,
well, there you have it.
Yeah.
$3 million for girl-centered climate action in Brazil. I mean, this is, we're in jackassery mode right now. I think you need to hit the jackassery button, bro. This we're there. Thank you. Thank you very much. $125 million to racialized public health. What does that mean? Racialized public health. The CDC, it says, has faced growing criticism in recent years for politicized unconstitutional responses to COVID-19, but now we have things like a $124 million grant to the National Network of Public Health Institutes to further damage that frayed relationship. Using a racial justice competency manual or model, they will decide whether or not medical outcomes are sufficient based upon racial equities. A $124 million grant. How about $573,000 to anti-Israel groups for fighting disinformation. What? Fox guarding the hen house, I'd say. Yeah, so the Biden administration has gotten this whole thing about disinformation going on, and they've decided they're going to fund anti-Israel groups, you know, who may have disinformation things that need to be probably amplified if you get down to it. I mean, this goes on. How about this? This is my favorite. Are you ready for which? I don't know which button you want to use. You can use the laugh button. You can use the Jack Attree button. You can probably make your own cacistocracy button if you want to. You can play them all at one time. $288,563 for diverse birdwatcher groups. Just. So we have laughing. We have laughing jackassery now. Laughing jackassery. So yeah, DEI mania abounds. The National Science Foundation approved a grant for having ornithological studies. That's for bird watching. Ornithological. I'm impressed with myself that I can even say that. Ornithological studying. Societies creating affinity groups based upon identity characteristics. In other words, diversity is necessary in bird watching.
Not only that, tax dollars are worth going there.
Yeah, I mean this is our money. I mean, listen, I grew up and, you know, my dad would say things to me like, I'd get some allowance. He'd go, son, that money's burning a hole in your pocket. You can probably hear him saying it.
Yep.
Son, that money's burning a hole in your pocket. Well, yeah, I was a kid. I wanted the next comic book. I wanted that candy. I wanted something at the dime store. But did I just say dime store? I did.
Yeah,
old am I right now? But went down to the Ben Franklin Five and Dime and stay out of the Woolworths. That's a quote, by the way, from... You've never watched Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No.
You're starting to worry me with your movie choices, by the way.
I'm not a big movie guy. You haven't seen
Act of Valor.
No.
You haven't seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No.
Have you ever watched Jeremiah Johnson?
Nope.
Okay. All right. We need to pause the show just for a second. I'm going to have to ask a couple of quick questions.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Outlaw Josie Wales?
No. I've never even heard of that.
What?
Mm-mm.
All right, listen, I need all of y'all to just be patient with me right now as I work with my young Padawan here. Brother, I'm going to make you a list of movies you have to watch. It's going to be required watching.
Lewis from Birmingham just texted in and said, we need to get JP some right side flare. you know, Dale would do this a lot. He would stop and ask me stuff to make me seem like like a kid, and they would always be, nope, never heard of that.
Okay, you're not a kid, but you're a man and you got to watch some movies. Yeah. I mean, these are like testosterone growing movies right here. All right, so we're gonna figure that out. All right, back to the Doge. Yeah, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are leading the Department of Government Efficiency. So the way they're gonna set this up is what we understand is it's Doge is gonna work with the White House and the Office of Management and Budget. But it's going to operate outside the federal government. It's going to create more efficient bureaucracy. I got a piece here from the Washington Examiner that I'm reviewing, and that's the way they want to do it. Musk and Ramaswamy are tasked with slashing the federal government spending in the wake of the newest budget deficits that hit $1.8 trillion. And Musk most recently said he was going to identify $2 trillion worth of spending. And I got news. He can probably do it just on ridiculous foreign aid and, you know, things like DEI projects overseas. I look at it and go, wow, there is no way in the world we can maintain our ability to fund ourselves if we're going to send. People talk about Ukraine. I get it. But at least Ukraine is a war that we're talking about. Who needs to send things to, where was it, Burma, so that we can have more diverse groups for, you know, what did I say? It was girl-centered climate action in Brazil and diversity and inclusion scholarships in Burma. What are we doing there?
Yeah.
That right there was $48 million.
Well, I'll also point out of Elon's tweet, he posted that all actions of the Department of Government Efficiency will be posted online for maximum transparency. He said, anytime the public thinks we're cutting something important or not cutting something wasteful, just let us know. But then he also said, we will also have a leaderboard for the most insanely dumb spending of your tax dollars. This will be both extremely tragic and extremely entertaining.
I imagine it's going to be all over his X platform also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, I had that article right here. And the best source I could find, believe it or not, was from the British tabloid, The Mirror. The Daily Mirror has a piece that says Elon Musk vows to start a leaderboard of the U.S. government's most insanely dumb spending. I personally, I think this is one of the most exciting things happening. And I'm looking at a revision of the Department of Defense. I'm looking at a revision. I'm looking at doing away with the Department of Education. I mean, these are dream things. If the Department of Energy comes back and says, drill, baby, drill, I'm going to be super excited. But I am real excited about Doge. You know what we need? We need a Doge sound effect. What would it be?
I don't know. But, I don't even know. Have you even, you've seen the picture of Doge, right? The dog Doge?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he has a sound effect that goes with it, but yeah, that it's a... And someone actually called, actually during that segment, to point out that it's not just a meme. It's also a very popular crypto.
It is a very popular crypto.
So there's that as well. So
Dogecoin. Mm. It's real.
But it's just a peek into Elon as a person, because he creates all stuff Tesla to look cool and to be like the future needs to look like the future. He's all about looks and that sort of stuff. So the fact that he's naming the government agency after Doge just gives a peek into that stuff kind of matters to him, not only just for humor, but I think those little stuff, goes a long way.
I think I also saw too that Doge crypto has like gone through the roof all of a sudden because of this.
Crypto as a whole has. So.
You better take us to a break, man. We're gonna blow right through the break
talking
time.
About Doge.
All right, we're taking a break. Last break of the day here on Hump Day. We're gonna get you guys all the way to the weekend. Stand by. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. It's been a good day. It's been a good show. Hey, guys, got to remind you a couple things. The latest video podcast of The Right Philosophy is now available on rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org, our website. The Right Philosophy podcast just came out today at 11. By the way, it's also available on YouTube, which brings me to another point. A bunch of y'all already clicked on it. So we are working to drive our YouTube numbers up. It helps us with the algorithms. It helps us grow as a company. It's amazing what you can do when you hit certain marks. We just hit 500 today.
Yep, today.
And our goal is 1,000. So we would love for y'all to go to YouTube and hit subscribe. And that would mean a lot to us if you would. So if you don't mind, Right Side Media on YouTube, click subscribe.
And there's two right sides. So if I know if you look up Right Side Radio 459 is the actual handle itself. If you type that in, it'll be the only one that pops up. The only right side that pops up. So
okay, cool.
Right Side Radio 459 will take you exactly to the right side.
Mark from Red Bay just checked in. He says the Doge sound effect needs to be Homer Simpson.
Don't.
I can see it. The parts guy from Albertville says the Doge sound effect ought to be the traditional cha-ching of a slot machine. That's wow. I don't know. We kind of want to get away from that. I'm ready for folks to quit having jackpots out of taxpayer dollars. Kimball from Harvest says the Doge sound effect ought to sound something like a fighter jet flying by with afterburners on. Wow. The Doppler effect. Sleek, fast, powerful. Kimball's all in on this thing, man. John from Huntsville has the grades for us. He says Jeff Poor gets an A- for his just okay performance. Wow. Dale Jackson gets a solid A for his solid performance. Phil gets an A+ for his amazing performance, which means today's winner is obviously the fantastic JP with an A++ for his spectacular sound effect skills. Congratulations. He says, by the way, JP, there's only one movie you need to watch. It's SpongeBob movie with David Hasselhoff, because in my opinion, it's without a doubt the greatest movie ever.
You think I haven't seen that? I grew up on SpongeBob. I've seen that many times.
SpongeBob SquarePants has got to be the most mindless thing I've ever heard of. Like, who sat around and thought that up?
I don't know. I think it's one of the
greatest.
What
were they smoking?
It's one of the greatest cartoons ever.
Somebody hit the pipe and then said, what do you want to do for a cartoon? Man, I was thinking about a sponge, a square sponge.
Lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Lives in a pineapple. I mean, what the heck? Billy from Somerville says Doge sound effects, a toilet flushing. That's not bad.
I think a good one too is maybe Javier Milei, the afuerte, afuerte.
Glenn from Bluntsville is talking about your movie inabilities, and he says he has to watch all the John Waynes and the Clint Eastwood westerns, and he has to watch all of their war movies.
I've seen a couple of the John Wayne. My granddad, your dad, is the one that introduced me to John Wayne.
Absolutely.
in the basement, if you remember, he had the John Wayne poster.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And, yeah, that's where I was introduced to John Wayne. So
I, I, I think I gave him that John Wayne poster.
Yeah, it's
he had. I think John Wayne had something. I'm going from memory. Something like made like 149 movies, and Dad had 119 of them on VHS cassette.
Yeah, he had them all on the same. I remember there's a shelf of all the movies, and there was one shelf dedicated to John Wayne that was filled up.
Awesome. Yep. Shane Daddy from Gadsden checks in and says, Phil, are you sure JP is really related to you? His lack of movie knowledge is making me doubt. It's concerning. It's concerning a lot of people, JP.
Well, yeah, all these people have had, you know, people who are not 21, they've had a lot more time to watch all these
well,
movies.
Well, this is JP, this is where I have to say my love for you is unconditional.
That's good to know.
That does not mean there's not accountability. So. Yes. Do I hear music playing?
It just started.
All right, listen, we are done for the day, but we got tomorrow and we got the next day. We're going to get you all the way to the end of the week. In the meantime, do not forget, there are more of us than there are of them. Yes, yes, indeed. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.